All right, we're going to start quickly from the Mishnah on Lamed Vav and Vet. Mishnah begins, Madne Adam Ali Ruvo, Vomer. If the non-Jews come from the east, then Meiruv is in the west. Min Amarav, come from the west, they Ruvi Lemizrach, then Meiruv is in the eastern side. In Bao the Kan on the Kan, if they end up coming from both sides, Makom Sheyotzeh Elich, wherever I want to go, that's where my Eruv is going to be. Lo Bao the Kan, Velo the Kan, if they don't come to either location, or any Kibbutz Yiri, then I'm like the people of my city and maintain my normal status of the 2000 Amot. In Ba Chacham in a Mizrach, if a Chacham comes from the east, Eruvilu Mizrach, then my Eruv is on the eastern side. Min Amarav, if it's on the western side, Eruvilu Marav, then my Eruv is on the western side. Ba Lekan Lekan, comes to either side, Lemakom She'erze Elech, meaning that there are two Chachamim that show up, I can go to whichever one I want. Lodekan, Velodekan, if nobody shows up, or any Kibnei Iri, then I go back to my original status, and neither of the Eruvin take effect. If one of them was his Rav, then he definitely goes to the side that is his Rebbe. If they're both his Rebbe, then whichever way he wants, he can go, even if one of them is Rabo Muvhak. Despite the fact that one of them is a Rabo Muvhak, he can go from whichever direction he wants. This Mishnah is dealing with what we call Breira. Breira is the ability, after the fact, to say that what I did originally was based, or this is what I was thinking originally. Over here, he places down an Eruv on two ends, and then on Shabbat, the information that he needs to make the decision comes about, and we say that that is as if it was determined from the time that he put down the Eruv. It's a concept called Breira, the ability to have retroactively had the decision made when you get the information later. And so that's as if his Eruv was placed in the east or the west, depending on where the people come, or from neither side, it ends up being neither of them are Eruvin for him. So, Kiyata Rabbi Yitzchak, when Rabbi Yitzchak came, today, Ipcha Kula Matanitan. He had the entire Mishnah backwards. Backwards meaning that over here, we have it with the Nachrim, that he's trying to run away from them, and from his Rebbe, that he's trying to get closer to him. Rabbi Yitzchak had the opposite. He had it when the Nachrim were showing up, that he was trying to get closer to them, he was trying to go in the direction that the Nachrim were coming from. And in the case of his Rebbe, he was trying to run in the other direction. He was trying to get away from his Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Kasha Nachrim on Nachrim, Kasha Chacham on Chacham. If you have the Mishnah written in the exact opposite manner, then you have a steer. In one case, he's trying to run towards the Nachrim. One case, he's trying to run away from them. One case, he's trying to go towards his Rebbe. The other case, he's trying to run away from his Rebbe. How do we reconcile those two? So Nachrim and Nachrim lo Kasha, ha beparhegvano, ha bemaridamato. Depends. If he's the tax collector, he's running the other way. He's running away from the tax collector. If it's the ruler of the city, ruler of the prefect, and he wants to meet him, he has some issues that he needs to deal with him, then he's trying to approach him. He's trying to get closer to him. Chacham ha-chacham lo kasho. Ha, b'motiv pirkei. It's when he gives a real shir. Ha, b'mikrei shema. The other one's when he's a teacher of children. So, if he wants to go to the real shir. As Rashi points out, in this case, at least we'd have to believe that the teacher of children comes from one side, and the Rebbe comes from the other side. That in that instance, it was both. And he chooses to go towards the Shi'ur. It's not like he's trying to run away from the person who's teaching the children. It's just that he hears that there's a Rebbeim coming from both sides, or a Chacham coming from both sides, and he doesn't realize whether it's someone who's going to be giving a Shi'ur or someone's going to be coming to teach children. So he wants to go to the side of where the one who's teaching the Shi'ur is. And that's what it means, that he wants to leave or go away from the one who is teaching the children. So now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im haya achad mehem, Rabbo, then he definitely goes to his Rebbe's side. V'Rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan think? How come Rabbi Yehuda says this, and it sounds like the Rabbanan disagree? Zimnin d'neichle b'chavre tvei mirabe. Sometimes he wants to see his friends more than he wants to see his Rebbe. What we're trying to determine is that the next morning, when we have all the information in hand, we say, what would he have decided at the moment that he put down the Eruv? Had he all the information then, what would have been his decision? So what we automatically say, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, whichever side his Rebbe comes from, that's definitely what he was thinking at the time that he put the Eruv down. Might have changed his mind afterwards, but that's definitely what he wanted. And therefore we're going to say, if his Rebbe comes from one direction, that's definitely the direction he picked. But Rabbanan say that's not always true. Sometimes people would rather see their friends than see their Rebbe. If that's the case, on the Erev, when he placed it down, he was equally disposed to going to either direction, and it's very possible that this was his decision, or Breira would be that he would have decided in this manner that that was the direction he wanted to go, towards his friends and away from his Rebbe. So Amarav, later the Matnitan, our Mishnah is incorrect, or we do not pass an halacha that way. Midetani Ayo, because of the Mishnah or Brayta of Ayo, Midetani Ayo, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the way Ayo has the Mishnah, or the Brayta, whatever you quote, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Adam Matneh Ashnei Dvarim Ke'achad. Person can't make a condition which, by definition, is mutually exclusive. Ella, in Ba'al Chacham LeMizrach, Eruvo LeMizrach. If you put it in the east, and the Chacham comes to the east, then he goes to the east. In Ba'al Chacham LeMarav, Eruvo LeMarav. Then his Eruv is in the west. Aval Dekan Ulekan, but if he comes in both directions, lo, doesn't work. So Gemara says, I don't understand. If you're saying that when he comes to the east, it works to the east, and when he comes to the west, it works to the west, he's placed an Eruv on both directions. And yet it's still working, which means that you're invoking Breira. On the other hand, if he shows up on both sides, we say you can't do that. Well, why? So my Shna, the Kan, the Kan, the Lo. So what's the point? Why? You can't go in both directions because the Chacham shows up on both sides. Why? Dein Breira. There's no retroactive determination of where the Erev was, if that's the case. Mizrach Lamarav Nami, Ein Breira. To be the same is true if he only comes from the east, or only comes from the west. You're still utilizing the principle of Breira. So why does it work in that case? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ukvar ba Chacham. So Rabbi Yochanan says that the situation is where the Chacham is already within the range of where it would have mattered by the time your Eruv has to take effect. The information is there, but you don't have the information in hand. So the Chacham is within 2,000 amot of your Eruv, whichever side you set it up on. And so your Eruv takes effect because the Chacham is within the Eruv, within the 2,000 amot of your Eruv. And at that point in time, the decision is made. You may not be aware of the decision, but the decision is made. As opposed to a situation where the Chacham is like 4,000 amot minus away from your location, he's going to make it over there during Shabbat. So he's outside the area of your Eruv, but he will be able to get there on the Shabbat or within 2,000 amot, within the Shabbat. So he can walk there to have it be relevant to you on Shabbat. But when Shabbat came in, we didn't have, even if you had the information, you still wouldn't have known because he wasn't within your Eruv when Shabbat came in. So that's the difference. The answer is that it's not Breira. We're not talking about retroactive decision making here. We have the decision at the moment the Eruv is placed. You are just unaware of what the decision is because you didn't know where the Chacham was. So in that case, we say the Eruv takes effect. Lekan on lekan, you run into a problem. If the Chacham is in both places, then you're really in a, then you want both of them to take effect, and then you're back to Breira, which is that whichever one I want to work works, that we don't allow to happen. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's answer as to why, in the position of Rabbi Yehuda, when Ayo brings the Mishnah down, he says Rabbi Yehuda believes there's a difference between one direction and two directions. When it's in one direction, the decision was made prior to Shabbat, or at the time that the Eruv takes effect, and because of that, it's a good Eruv. On the other hand, when it's from both directions, there's no decision made, then you're invoking Breira, and we won't allow Breira to take effect. The Breira doesn't work. Adarabba, the Gemara says, okay, so you're right. We have what we call a Stira, we have our Mishnah, and we have Ayo. Our Mishnah says Breira works, and Ayo says Breira doesn't work. So the Gemara says, let's dump the Mishnah, that's what Rav says, dump the Mishnah because Ayo disagrees with our Mishnah. The Gemara says, why don't we just do the opposite? Makes more sense. Adarabba. Later, the Dio Mimatnitin. We should say our Mishnah is the primary source. It should govern here, and the Mishnah should be the answer, and we should drop Ayo, because why does he trump the Mishnah? The Mishnah should be the one that determines the Halacha. When it says Lo Sakadatcha, that you wouldn't have thought. Dashmein and later Rabbi Yehuda, the late Breira. We have another location or another memra where we see that Rabbi Yehuda believes there is no such thing as Breira. This is a Breita. Here the Gemara says Tanan. It is a Mishnah, but the Mishnah does not have everything that's quoted here. The Mishnah only has a portion of what's quoted here. The full thing is brought in the Tosefta, and therefore the proper quote should be Tanya here. It's a Breita, Breita that's brought in numerous places in Shas. You can see here in the Masorta Shas that it's quoted in numerous places. And the Gemara in all these cases is dealing with the issue of Breira. And every time they're dealing with the issue of Breira, the Gemara brings this Mishnah. Here it takes them a little longer. In most cases, they get to a result in the end of answering that the Mishnah really isn't, or Breita is really not dealing with Breira. And that's the Gemara's answer in most cases. In this Gemara, it's a little more circumspect, and here it sounds like the Gemara even has a possibility of it remaining as a problem of Breira. But here it is. Alokeach yayin miben akutim. A person purchased wine from amongst the kutim. The kutim were a peoples that lived in the Shomron. They came in the time of the Melachim. They converted because, I mean, it's pretty clear from the Pesukim, they converted because of the fear of the lions that were running around over there. And there was a belief in that time that you had to accept the God of the locale in order to protect you. So over there, they accepted the God, which was Hashem at the time, that was in that locale, and they converted to Judaism. There's a machloket throughout the Mishnayot as to what the status of these kutim are. Are they Geri Emet? Were they true converts? Yes, they were provoked or instigated to convert because of the problem with the lions, but when they converted, they really converted. Or do we call them Geri Arayotin? Or they really converted because they were afraid of the lions. And so they didn't convert for real reasons. They didn't really want to be Jewish. They just thought that that would protect them, and they did it, and they're not true Gerim. That machloket persists throughout the Mishnayot. In the end, they ended up finding that they were no longer worshiping God, but rather they had an Avodah Zarah up on Har Gerizim, and they used to worship that Avodah Zarah. And because of that, the Chachamim at some point declared that the Kutim are clearly not Jewish, or do not have a classification of Jewish, because they're of the Avodah Zarah. But that's a later stage. So here we're in the stage prior to that, before these Gzerot take place, and they said that you could drink wine from the Kutim. Normally, if you bought wine from a non-Jew, you would not be able to drink it. It's a problem of Stam Yenam, or possibly Yain Nesach, and you wouldn't be able to use it. So obviously here you're buying from the Kutim in a period of time where the Kutim still have a classification of not being Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's number one. Number two is, when you purchase from the Kutim are similar to the Tzedokim and the Beit Shusim, who don't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh and don't believe in Dinei Derabanan. They basically follow the letter of the law. They follow things, the Oraita, that which is found in the Torah. So if something's written in the Torah, they definitely follow it. And the Gemara even says, they follow it better than the Jews. They're more makpid. When they do a mitzvah, they're more makpid than even the Jews about that mitzvah when they do it. But they don't keep all the mitzvot because they don't have all these dinei derabanan or drashot derabanan on the Torah. And so that creates some of the problem here. So we have, okay, Achiyami ben Akutim, and he wants to utilize this wine, but unfortunately he bought it right on Ben HaShemashot going into Shabbat, and now he needs it for Shabbat. He wants to drink this wine for Shabbat. The problem is you cannot be mafrish, trumot, and masrot on Shabbat. So what he says, Omer, Shnei lugim shani atid afrish. The two log that in the future I'm going to take off, harihen truma. That will be truma. Asara maser rishon, tisha maser sheni. 10 more will be maser rishon. 9 of them will be maser sheni. As Tosva points out, this is all lav dafka, because the numbers don't work out. Because first you take off the truma, you're only left with 98% when you take off the first maser rishon, so it's not 10. And obviously when you have the maser sheni, it's not going to be 9 either. These aren't exact numbers, but basically round numbers as to what you have to take off. Umechal v'shoteh miyad. Mechal v'shoteh miyad is a machloket rishonim between Rashi and Tosafot as to what it means. Rashi says that he redeems the maaser sheni onto his money, v'shoteh miyad, and they can drink it right away. Because maaser sheni is one of the things that you don't have to actually take itself and bring it up to Yerushalayim. You can redeem it onto coinage, onto currency, and then take it up to Yerushalayim. So you redeem it, and then you drink right away. Tosafot disagrees for a number of reasons, and first of which is, he's not really being mafrish over here. This is Ben HaShemashot. Ben HaShemashot going into Shabbat, if it's demai, if it is something where you have a safek, trumot and masrot, then you are permitted to be mafrish Ben HaShemashot because of the safek. That's what we say in Bamei Madlikin every Friday night. On the other hand, if it's vadai tevel, which is the case here, we don't think that the kuti took off trumot and masrot at all. We don't think he removed it whatsoever. That means that you're taking off trumot and masrot vadai, and you would not be allowed to be mafrish to take off trumot and masrot, even ben HaShemashot. So what's happening here, according to Tosfot, umechal, it can't be that you're redeeming the maaser sheni, you're not even being mafrish the maaser sheni, so you couldn't be redeeming it. So Tosfot brings two interpretations, one of which is that mechal means to start, to begin, heichel, from the word heichel, which means to begin the process or start the process. So Mechal, he begins v'shoteh miyad. And the Oruch brings the same interpretation. The Oruch says that he begins like this. Shnei lugim shani atid lifrish harin b'chitachtita nod. That's at the bottom of the barrel or the bottom of the canteen. V'chein, maiser achreyem and maiser sheni, he says it's all coming after them. He doesn't designate specifically the locations. He doesn't designate the hafrasha, because you can't do that. It's already ben hashmashot. He can't be mafrish. And therefore, he basically just says, I'm going to do it. He indicates that at the bottom, I'm going to take care of all this stuff later. But he doesn't actually do it. If he doesn't actually do it, obviously you can't redeem it. But that's what the word mechal means. He begins, and he can drink right away and deal with it later. That's one possibility. The other possibility is brought by the Rabbeinu Tam, as well as Rav Haigon, that the word mechal here is with a hey, and not with a chet. Mechal, which means to mix. And it says, umechal means that he's mozeg, that he mixes the wine, like you normally do to drink it, and then you drink it. Nothing to do with the trumot and masrot. So that's the interpretation that Tosfot brings the word mechal. Again, Rashi thinks it means to redeem. Why do the putim not take off trumot and masrot? It's something that's written in the Torah, something that's explicit in the Torah. We would have expected them to take off trumot and masrot here. The answer lies in the fact that they're selling it to you. So they take off trumot and masrot when they eat it. If they were going to eat it, and then instead you come and you take it from them, or you buy it from them, you could have taken that and not worried about Trumot Masrot. They Badai would have taken off Trumot Masrot. They would not eat anything that did not have Trumot Masrot taken off of it. What they don't believe in, and what they don't darshan, is one of two things. Either that when you sell items that you have to be mafrish Trumot Masrot, they think only when you're going to eat them do you have to be mafrish, not when you sell it. So that's one possibility. The other possibility, which the Gemara discusses in many places, is the problem of lifnei iver lo titen michshol. The problem with giving other people items that don't have trumot masrot taken off of them is that you're going to cause them to sin. You're selling or giving an item to them, and they think you've already taken off trumot masrot. If they eat it, they're going to be in violation of eating tevel, and you're going to be the cause of it. And there's an isur in our Torah of lifnei iver lo titen michshol. Do not put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. That, if you take literally, means don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Chazal, darshin. And many of the Rishonim believe that this is pashtuta pasuk, that we won't even darshin the real pashtuta pasuk, is that you may not do something that causes another person to do a aveira. You cannot set someone up or put them in a position where they can do an aveira. If you give them items that are not kosher, you give them items that do not have trumot masrot taken off of them, they eat it, you're the cause of their violation. And you then are held accountable because of Nei Ver Lo Titen Michshol. The Kutim do not accept the Drashat Chazal. So they don't have any problem with Nei Ver Lo Titen Michshol. And for that reason also, they won't mind selling you things that are Tevel. They don't feel responsible for what you do with it afterwards. For one of those two reasons, they do not take up Trumot Masrot when they sold you this item, even though they themselves would have taken it off. And they would have been more makpid than a regular Jew. They've been better than Amaretz. They would have taken off the Trumot Masrot. Here they're not taking it off because they're selling it to you. All right, so now that's Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, all three of them, Usrin, say you cannot do this. The machloka we think that is borne out by this Breita is whether there's Breira. Rabbi Meir basically says you can be mafrish after the fact. And when you mafrish after the fact, that which you drank on Shabbat was not problematic. You drank something on Shabbat, and it was tevel. But you said, I'm going to take off Trumot Masrot in the future, and then you do that. You take it off in the future. So in the future, it becomes clear that what you drank was the portion that was chulin. That wasn't the Trumot Masrot, and wasn't tevel. Rabbi Meir says, no problem, it works. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrim say it does not work. They seem to not subscribe to the position of Breira. And that's what the Gemara says. We find somewhere else where Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Breira. So from this bright, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda thinks, Ein Breira. And that's why the Gemara gives, or Rav gives more tokef to Ayo's statement than to our Mishnah. The Ayo's statement says Rabbi Yehuda does not believe in Breira. Our Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda does believe in Breira. So Rav says, I have a Breita that says Rabbi Yehuda doesn't think Breira works. I have a Ayo saying that it doesn't work, and I have a Mishnah that says it does work. So that's why I'm favoring Ayo over the Mishnah, because I have additional source material that makes me think that Rabbi Yehuda believes Ein Breira, that we do not invoke this principle of Breira. Breira means that after the fact, I am able to designate the portions. So here, when I'm looking at this wine today, it's Tevel. I don't know which part is Trumot Masrot, I don't know which part is Chulin, and I haven't done the Afrasha. The Breira is, after the fact now, I'm saying that that portion that I drank was Chulin, and the portion that's left here is Trumot and Masrot. So retroactively, I'm making a determination about what was the status of the wine that I drank. So that's Breira. Breira means that retroactively, I'm making a determination that is being invoked here as well. Ulamar, letali ayo, mi matinitin. Our Mishnah takes precedence. Our Mishnah trumps ayo. Svahadik tani Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osirin. What are you going to do with this braita that we just brought down? That supported ayo and says Rabbi Yehuda does not believe in Breira. Ula, zuze zuze ktani. He either writes, zuze zuze, the Gemara uses in one other place. And Rashi says the same thing over there. There are others that change the girsa here. But the basic meaning is the same in all instances. It means zuge zuge. Don't think that it's one against three in the Mishnah, but rather it's two against two. And the Breita should read this way. Divrei Rabbi Meir vi Rabbi Yehuda. That the first part of that Breita that says you're allowed to do this is the position of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Biosi Rabbi Shimon Osirim. Biosi and Rabbi Shimon are the Osirim. Once you do that, then the Breita now, instead of being a problem for our Mishnah, becomes a support for our Mishnah. Because now Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda in this Breita of Halukei Achiyaimi Ben Akutim, in both cases Rabbi Yehuda believes Breira works. And so therefore it's a support for our Mishnah, and we drop a Yo according to Ula. Now the Gemara is going to go through each of the Tanaim that are found here, and try to determine what their position is. From the Breita, it sounds like Rabbi Yossi believes Ein Breira. That's what the Gemara asks here. Besar Rabbi Yossi Ein Breira? Does Rabbi Yossi really believe that there is no concept of Breira? V'atnan. We have a Mishnah in Kinim. Where Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shtei Nashim Shelachu Et Kinim Beiruf. Two women who were chayavot to bring a pair of birds to the Mikdash, or whether they were Oledet, Zavot, whatever the reason is, they are obligated to bring a kan of Tziporim, which is two birds, one for a chatat, one for an olah. But they purchase them together, and they show up with the four birds in the Mikdash, and they give it to the Kohen. Oh, shenatnu kineem the Kohen, or they just gave it to the Kohen. Question of whether they gave him birds or money. The commission talks about both cases, and in both cases, the same thing. Both of them have the same problem, it's just one's with money and one's with the birds themselves. Eze shiyirtze ha-kohen yakriv olah, ule eze shiyirtze yakriv chatat. Whichever one he wants to make an olah, fine. Whichever one he wants to make a chatat, fine. So in this instance, we have a Mishnah here, which seems to have a determination made after the fact. Rashi claims that the determination here made after the fact is who owns the birds. And he has to get the birds right, because he has to be makriv the birds for the proper owner. If it's Rachel and Leah here who brought the birds, he's got to give Rachel's birds for Rachel, and Leah's birds for Leah. And based on that, you have to have Breira here. After the fact, there's a determination of who the birds belong to. The balut, the ownership of the birds, is determined. And the Kohen, when he says these are for Rachel and these are for Leah, it's as if, at the time of purchase, those were Rachel's birds and those were Leah's birds. Because otherwise, if he mixes them up, it would be problematic. That's what Rashi says. And that's what he says is the huvrar davar here. That's what's being retroactively determined is the ownership of the birds. Tosafot says that he doesn't think that that's the issue here, because the Gemara in the beginning of Zvachim says that when a Kohen goes up, he has to have in mind seven things in terms of the Korban. And then the Gemara there says that Beit Din made a gzeirah, if he just does it stam, if he does it without anything in mind, that they're all incorporated. And one of those things is, who's the owner? The Shem Baalim. But that's what it says, that you could have just been makriv. The Kohen could have been makriv stam, which means that he could have been makriv without having either owner in mind, not Rachel, not Leah, and just, I'm being makriv. And whoever it belongs to, and that would have been sufficient. So he really doesn't need to know who the owner is here. That is not the issue, and that's not what the Breira is about. What is the Breira about? Now Rashi also notes this, but the Breira is about the Chatat and the Ola. Each woman must bring one Chatat and one Ola. If the Kohen now is Makriv, these Korbanot, and he does from one of the pairs, he brings two Olot. From the other pair, he brings two Chatot. Then it fails, because each pair that is brought has that one Chatat and one Ola for it. Not that he just takes two olot from one and two chatat from the other. It has to be a determination of each pair, and then each pair has to have one olah and one chatat. And that's what the retroactive determination is. It's not really about the name Shem Baalim. It is about the ownership in a sense, but not because of the ownership. It's not the balut that makes the problem. The problem is that you have to get a chatat and olah from each pair, not that it has to be Rachel's and Leah's. So that's the difference, and Rashi says that as well, that that's the decision point here. Now, Amar Rabba, Rabba says, that's not a proof. Hatam, kishihitnu, that they made a condition up front. They basically made a pact together, and they said, look, we're going to pool our money, we're going to buy the birds, and whichever bird goes here is for me, whichever bird goes for there is for you, whatever the Kohen decides, that's fine. The Gemara says, okay, once you do that, then, ihachim ad memra. Then what's their chiddush in the Mishnah? The Mishnah obviously is coming to teach you something. It's not coming to teach you that the women make a condition, a business pact between them, that they're going to jointly buy the birds, and the kohen will determine which belongs to whom. That's not a question. That's a course. Why can't you set up a condition like that? There's nothing wrong with that. The kohen makes the decision, then we know who owns it. It's not even Breira. And that's why Rav is saying this. There is no Breira here. But in that case, why does the Mishnah need to tell you that it works? Of course it works. That was the whole premise of their pooling their money. So the Gemara answer is, Kamash Malon Kid Rav Chisda. The answer is, it's like Rav Chisda. Damar Rav Chisda. Ena Kinim Mit Parshot. You cannot determine what the kinim are, ela ibikli kachat balim, except at the time of purchase, or ibi asiyat kohen, or when the kohen is makriv them on the mizbeach. That is because the psukim by the kinim say, velakcha shtei torim or shnei b'nei yona, that she will purchase two torim or two b'nei yona, echad ola, vechad chatat. And then later on it says, by the kohen, vasa kohen et echad chatat vechad ola. The kohen will do, one of them as a chatat, one of them as ola. From that, the Gemara learns, Rav Chisda teaches us, that there are only two decision points. When it comes to these kinim, there are only two decision points where you can determine which one's the ola and which one's the chatat. Anything in between is meaningless. That means that when the women purchase the birds, at that moment they can say, that one's ola, that one's a chatat. And they can make the determination at that point. And then they have to be careful. They have to make sure they know which one's the ola with the chatat when they give it to the kohen. The other point of decision is when the kohen himself is being makriv them, he can make the determination, this one's a chatat, this one's an ola. In between, it doesn't matter. So if the women purchase the birds, and then after they purchase the birds, they say, you know what, this one's an ola, this one's a chatat, does not work. It's meaningless. Then, when the kohen does it, he is the determining factor. They do not have the ability or the right to determine that at that point in time. That's Rav Chisda's din. Rav Chisda's din is that there's only two decision points. The decision can be made at the time of purchase, or the time of Hakrava Ayudea Kohen. Anything in between, even if you say it, has no bearing. And that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is, even though they said after they purchased it, this one's a Chatat, this one's a Olah, it has no bearing. And the Kohen can determine, and it'll work. That the Kohen's determination is what governs here, and it will be a Chatat and Olah. But we did two things here. One is we got rid of Breira, because there's no longer any Breira here. They purchased a together. They had a pact between them that whoever's it works out, that's fine. And after the fact, they went ahead and they tried to say, oh no, chatat ola, that has no bearing. And the answer to the Mishnah is, number one, we're not dealing with Breira, so that's why it works. Number two is, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that even though they tried to make a determination about chatat ola after the purchase, it doesn't work. And the Kohen's determination is what governs over here. Tosafot actually says that there are two things that we learn in the end from Rav Chisda's din. One is, that we maybe should have been gozer hitnu atolo hitnu, the case where they pool their resources, maybe we should be gozer for the case where they don't pool their resources. We don't say that. In addition to that, we also have this issue of the olah nechatat, which Rav Chisda tells us that the owners have no impact after they've bought it and had not made that determination at that point, then it's really in the hands of the kohen, no matter what the balim say in the interim. So the Gemara says, "Vakati sav Rabbi Yosi any breira." So we solved one problem, which is that Rabbi Yosi from the Okeach Yaimi Ben Akutim sounds like he does not have breira. We thought we found a Mishnah that said that he did have breira, and that was that Mishnah from Kinin. Rabba says that's not the case. Rabba says it's not a case of breira, and it's not a question. The Gemara says, "Wait a minute, we have another source, another breira, which seems to indicate that Rabbi Yosi believes there is breira." Vakati sav Rabbi Yosi any breira. Vatanya, we have a breira. Am ha'aretz shamar lechaver. Now Maritz, it says to a chaver, kach li aguda achat shel yerek, o gluska achat. Go ahead and purchase for me. You're going to the shuk today, right? You're a good neighbor. And the neighbor says to you, you know what, can you do me a favor? You're going to the shopping mall, you're going to the shuk, can you pick me up a bunch of carrots, you can pick me up a bunch of lettuce, do me a favor. While you're shopping, pick me up some stuff. Or gluska achat, or pick me up some cake, some rugalach, do me a favor, pick them up. Einu tzarich laser divrei Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says you don't have to take off masrot from it. Chachamim amrim tzarich laser. Chachamim say you have to take off the masrot. The problem here is you go to the store and you buy lettuce. You buy rugalach. You buy a huge amount of these items. And then you come home and you say, look, I bought half of them for me and half of them for my neighbor. So you go and you divide up the pile and you keep half of it and then you give half to the neighbor. When you give the half to the neighbor, what you've basically done was you bought a huge barrel together that were all yours. And now, after the fact, you're dividing them up and giving those to him and keeping a portion for yourself. If you believe that Breira works here, that retroactively you can make a determination, that means from the moment you purchase them, this pile really belonged to your neighbor. and this pile belonged to you. If that's the case, they never came into your possession. They were never yours. You're not obligated to take off Trumot Masrot. From beginning to end, it was the neighbor's stuff. The money that you spent on his behalf, that was his stuff, and it remained his stuff all the way through. And that means you're not obligated in Trumot Masrot. Again, we're dealing with purchasing from an Am Haaretz. And since you're purchasing from an Am Haaretz, we have a problem of Demai. And Demai, we are going to force you, or they're going to tell you to take off Trumot Masrot Misafek. So over here, this Am Haaretz, you can let him keep his food and his items he bought directly from the Am Haaretz, no problem. But if we say Ein Breira, if we say there's no retroactive determination of whose is whose, that means that you bought the whole pile for yourself. And then after the fact, you're basically selling to the Am Haaretz a portion of it. So that's the question of how do you look at this? When someone asks you to pick something up in the supermarket, does that mean that you bought it and then you're selling it to them? That you basically become a broker, a middleman here, and you're reselling it to them? Or do we say that the original purchase was on behalf of that other person, you're a shaliach for them, and it never really comes into your ownership? So Rabbi Yossi says, yes, it never really comes into your ownership because Breira, retroactively we see which portion is yours and which portion belongs to the Am Haaretz. The Chachamim say no. You can't have Breira, and therefore you bought the whole load, and then you're reselling it to the Am Haaretz. If you're reselling it to the Am Haaretz, you're responsible to take off Trumot and Masrot. What you see from here is that Rabbi Yossi does subscribe to Breira. Rabbi Yossi believes that there is a concept of Breira. Rabbi says, no problem, Ipuch. Just flip the positions. And the Chachamim are the ones who say you don't have to take it off, and Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that you are Tzarich Laser. If you flip the positions, then we solve the problem. So Tashma, where it continues. Omer, Maser Sheishli Bebeti, Michulal Al Sela Shetale Biyadi Minakis. I have Maser Sheini in my house, and I want it to be redeemed on a coin. I said that the coin that comes out of my pocket, that is the coin that is going to be the coin that I redeem it on. You have multiple coins in your pocket. And he said, whichever one I take out, that's going to be the one that has the Maser on it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Michulal. It works. You're allowed to do such a chilul, even though there are three coins in your pocket, and that means you do not know which coin is redeeming the Maser Sheni. After the fact, when you pull out the coin, retroactively we now know that the other two coins are fine, and this coin is the one that has a redemption on it. Breira being invoked over here, and Rabbi Yossi is the author of the position, Michulal. Mar says, again, Ipuch. Flip the positions. That's not Rabbi Yossi's position, that's the position of the Chachamim. So, Eima, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Chilo. And when you flip the position, you say, not Rabbi Yossi says it works, other Lo Chilo. It doesn't work. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question, Mai the Chazit Apach Trarte Mikame Chado. You have three sources here. Two of the sources say that Rabbi Yossi believes in Breira. One source that says that Rabbi Yossi does not believe in Breira. You have the source from Al-Keach Yayin Ibn Akutim that says Rabbi Yossi thinks no Breira. You have the source from the case of purchasing on behalf of the Am Haaretz, and the case of Chilul redeeming Maaser Sheni. In those two cases, you have Rabbi Yossi saying, yes, Breira. And the Gemara in both cases says, nah, flip the position. Rabbi Yossi really says, ain't Breira. Why would you drop two sources in favor of one source? That's the Gemara's question. My Chazit. Why would you flip over the two positions in favor of the one? It says, do the other way around. Let us assume that these two Braitot or Mishnayot that we just quoted are correct, and therefore Rabbi Yossi believes in Breira, and flip his position by Halukeach Yami Ben Akutim. That would be easier. Flip it once, and then we'd solve our problem. Mar says, Havadei Ipcho. Tanya, it's clear here that the latter Braita, the case with the Maaser Sheni, that you have to flip Rabbi Yossi's position. Because the remainder of the Tosefta, or the Braita there, makes it clear that Rabbi Yossi's position is the other way around. Diktani Seifa, Umode Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi agrees, Bomer Maaser Sheishli B'toch Beiti Yeh Mechulal Selah Chadasha Shetele B'yadi Menakis Shechilel. It says here that Rabbi Yossi agrees that he says that the Maaser Sheni in the house should be redeemed on this new coin that I have in my pocket. Shechilel, it works. So Midik Amar, the fact that the latter half of that Tosefta, that Braita says, Midik Amar Hocha, Shechilel, it works. Michlal, Dahatam Lo Chilel, means that his first statement was that it doesn't work. You don't have to have Rabbi Yossi admit that it works if before that he believed that it didn't work. And so based on that, they determined that this Braita, for sure, Rabbi Yossi's position is Lo Chilel. If Rabbi Yossi's position is Lo Chilel, then again, this Braita means Rabbi Yossi believes Ein Breira. And then you would have two saying Ein Breira, and you would flip the third one in favor of saying Ein Breira here. So So the Gemara says that there's other evidence to the fact that Rabbi Yossi's position when he says Chilel is wrong here. That Braita is incorrect. And that's what's forcing us to flip the position. Once you've already done that, now you've changed the weightings. Now you have two Braitot saying Rabbi Yossi believes Ein Breira, and one Braita saying there is Breira. So in that case, we'll say that the two trump the one. But had we not had outside evidence to the fact that we should have changed the Lashon and this Braita, then we wouldn't have done this. Now the Gemara goes back and says, wait a minute. Rabbi Yossi says Ein Breira. So he says when you have three coins in your pocket, and you pull one out, it doesn't work. But if you say the new coin in my pocket, it does work. Why does saying the new coin help you out over here? And that's what the Gemara says. Hai sela chadash eichi dami. What exactly is this case of the new coin? Deika tarte tlat? If there are two or three coins in your pocket, you're back to square one. You're back to the same way you were with the regular. You had three coins before. He says you pull one out, it doesn't work. Now, because you said it's a new coin, it works. If you have two or three new coins in your pocket, you're back to the square one, you're in the same position. So that can't be the case. Tiesh Breira. Hainuka Maito. That's the first case. And he would be in the same position, but you'd have to say, Hein Breira. Ela Delek Elechado. That he only has one coin in his pocket. If he has one coin in his pocket, Maita Le. What does it mean? The one that comes out of my pocket. There's only one coin in your pocket, so why do you have to, you know, the one that comes out? That's of course the coin that's going to come out of your pocket. There's no other coin to come out of your pocket if it's the only one. It says, I did tiny ratio taleh, tiny safe and nami taleh. That you're right. It just means the coin in my pocket, that works for to be redeemed. And Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, great, it works. Because you have one coin there, and you can redeem it on that one coin. Even though it says taleh, taleh doesn't mean literally when it comes out of his pocket, it means the one that's in my pocket. That should work. The only reason he used taleh is because the bright or the tosef began using that lashon, and it continues to learn, use that lashon. Right, so we're dealing with Braitot, and therefore there is already a question about the veracity or the authenticity of the Braitot. Right, so Braitot, the reason that they are Braitot, the Namishnayot, is because there are some questions about the Mesorah with regards to those Braitot. So the Gemara will always favor a Mishnah over a Braitot. That's why the Gemara had a problem necessarily with Ayo's interpretation over there. Why are we flipping the Mishnah? Are we dumping the Mishnah in favor of Ayo? But the Gemara then brought other evidence to that fact. So the Gemara will use Braito to support in many cases, but when it has a problem or a stira, it starts to question the validity of the Braito. And if it can do something to maneuver the Braito and keep it basically intact and say, okay, if we do this, then it solves our problem, they will do that. And that's what's happening here. They have numerous Braitot, and then Rabbi Yossi's opinion seems to be all over the place. So they're trying to come to a consensus about Rabbi Yossi's opinion, and through that consensus, determine what should have been the proper way to read the Braitot. You're right, it's dangerous, but because the Braitot don't hold that type of status in terms of their validity or veracity, therefore the Gemara is more willing to flip around or move around things in the Braitot. Amrlei Rav or Rav Nachman. Rav says to Rav Nachman, Man hai tano dafidu bidabra bonon leitle breiro. Who is the Tano who says that even when it comes to rabbinic laws, we do not use breira? So the implications from this are, which happens to be the day of some of the Tanaim, that Breira only applies when you have a rabbinic law. If you have a Torah law, we will not invoke Breira. This retroactive determination when it deals with Torah laws does not work. But when it comes to rabbinic laws, we're willing to invoke it because it's a rabbinic law, not a Torah law. So now, Rav asks Rav Nachman, who's the Tana that believes that even in rabbinic laws, we will not allow Breira to come into effect. Titanya, Amar lechamisha. He says to five different people, Hireni Marev al Ezim Mikem Sheretzeh. My Eruv, my Shvita for Shabbat will be with one of you guys. Retziti Yelech, if I want to go, I'll go and I'll be one of you. Lo Retziti, lo Yelech. If I don't want to, then I won't. Meaning that I have a choice here. If I want to go with one of these five people, my Eruv will be with them. If I don't want to go with them, then I'll just be like where I am right now, and this will be my Eruv where I'm living right now. That'll be my determination. So he wants to basically say, after the fact, he'll make the determination, a retroactive determination. Here, the Braita says, Ratzam Mibel Jom, Eruvo Eruv. If he makes a decision on Erev Shabbat, it works. Michashecha, if he does it after dark, Ein Eruvo Eruv. That's not an Eruv. It does not work at all. Ishtik. V'lo amar lei, v'lo midei. He didn't have an answer for him. Here, we're dealing with Eruv. Eruv is a din derabanan. And even in a din derabanan here, the Braita says, you must make the determination before Shabbat, not on Shabbat. Does not work retroactively. Ein breira, even in a din derabanan. Who's the Tana of the author of that position? Well, I have an easy answer for you. You know who the author of that position is? It's Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi just said before, in the case of Shumot and Masrot, when it came to Maser Yerek, he says, it doesn't work. Ein Breira. Maser Yerek, everybody agrees, is only a Din D'Rabbanan. If it's a Din D'Rabbanan, why doesn't the Gemara just quickly answer? Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi just said before, if you tried after the fact with the Am Haaretz, who he sent you to the supermarket on his behalf, and after the fact you split up the things and give it to him, it doesn't work. And yet we're dealing with Masrot of Yerek, which is D'Rabbanan. How come the Gemara doesn't just bring that as the answer? Gemara doesn't even entertain that possibility. So Tosafot says something that he said before. Here it's even more extreme. He says, well, since Masrot have an Ikar Mina Torah, then the Gemara looks at that as a Torah law. We had that before with Peirot Ha'ilan, with fruits. In fruits, at least, there is some that say that it is D'Oraita, others that say it's D'Rabbanan, and you can say, oh, Ikar Mina Torah. Yerek, nobody thinks is Mina Torah. And yet here, Tosafot again invokes this principle that it's Ikar Mina Torah. And since Ikar Mina Torah, it has a Torah level status. It's very interesting. So here, if we would say Breira works in D'Rabbanan, that Breira works in rabbinic laws, not in D'Oraita, here you have a rabbinic law, Maser Yerek. Nevertheless, it'll go into the category of D'Oraita, because the Ikar Trumot and Masrot, which goes for the Gandcha, Tirosh, Chavitzarecha, is a Torah law. And the Rabbanan just expanded the scope of Trumot and Masrot. But Trumot and Masrot themselves are Min HaTorah, and therefore goes into the bucket of the Oraita. So the Gemara does not give that answer. That's what Tosafot says over here, that the Rabbi Yossi is the author of this position. Leimalei Tana de Be'ayo. So why doesn't he just quote Ayo? Ayo, before it said Rabbi Yehuda believes no Breira, and our Mishnah is in the case of Eruv, which is a Din D'Rabbanan. So if that's the case, Ayo could be the author of this position. Hulo Shmilei. He didn't hear of Ayo. So again, this idea that Breitot, not everybody had heard of all the Breitot weren't in the mainstream, and he didn't hear this Breitot, this quote from Ayo. Had he heard it, maybe he would have said that, but he hadn't heard it. So Rav Nachman was not aware of this Ayo. Rav Yosef Amar, Tanai Shekalt Mi'alma. You grab a position of a Tana from out of nowhere, and then you ask me, who is this position? He says, Tanai. It is a machloket Tanaim. This is not just like one off opinion. This is a machloket of Tanaim, the Tanya. Hareini ma'arev shabbatot shel kol ha'shana. He says, listen, I'm going to put out my Eruv, and this Eruv is going to be good for all the Shabbatot of the year. I mean, obviously he has to put it in a place where it's not going to get eaten or taken away, but he puts it down, it's going to be good. He puts a box of matzah, that's what we do for our Eruv now, for Eruv Chatzerot, he puts a box of matzah there, and it's going to be there all year, and he says, that'll be my Eruv for all the year. Ratziti elech, lo ratziti lo elech. If I want to use it, I'll utilize it. If not, I won't. Rotza mi biodom, if he makes the determination at daytime, Eruv Eruv. Clearly his Eruv is an Eruv because made the determination before Shabbat. We're not invoking Breira. It works. Mishach HaShecha. If he only makes the determination after nightfall, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eruv Eruv. Rabbi Shimon says it works. Chachamim Omrim, Ein Eruv Eruv. The Chachamim say it doesn't work. Rabbi Shimon clearly subscribing to Breira and saying that it works. You can make the determination after the fact. Chachamim say you cannot make the determination after the fact. No Breira. So here you have a machloket tanaim as to whether Breira works in a din d'rabbanan. We're talking about Eruv here. And you have a machloket tanaim. So what do you mean you're asking who's the author of that position? It's a machloket tanaim. And we know that there are tanaim that believe that Breira works by d'rabbanan and that Breira does not work by d'rabbanan. It says, Bahashmain on the Rabbi Shimon to late Breira. Wait a minute, we have a problem now. Rabbi Shimon appeared in the bright of Alokeach Yaim Ben Akutim. And Rabbi Shimon's opinion over there doesn't work. Le Breira. Rabbi Shimon in our Breira that we brought from Lokeach Yaim Ben Akutim says no Breira. You just brought down Rabbi Shimon saying there's the Idle Breira. There is Breira over here. Kasha, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon. Where it says, Elo Ipoch, flip around their positions. Flip around the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Where it says, my Kasha. Why is this an issue? Dilmaki lately the Rabbi Shimon Breira, Bidoraito. Avabudravana Litle. You just brought two cases down. One case is the case of Eruv. One case is Elokeach Yaim Ben Akutim. Yaim Ben Akutim is Yaim is a Trumot and Masrot Midoraita. That's a Torah law. So in Torah law, Rabbi Shimon says, no Breira. Over here by Eruv, Din D'Rabbanan. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, Yesh Breira. D'Rabbanan, there is Breira. And D'Oraita, there is no Breira. So why not say that? Why are you flipping Rabbi Shimon's position? My answer is, Kasava Rabbi Yosef, Manda Itle Breira, Loshna B'Doraita, Loshna B'Drabbanan, Itle. Whoever believes in Breira thinks it works across the board. Works in Torah law and rabbinic law. Manda Leitle Breira, Loshna B'Doraita, Loshna B'Drabbanan, Leitle. Rabbi Yosef believes that you cannot make a bifurcation or split within the din of Breira. Either you think Breira works, and that means it works across the board, the right to the Rabbanon, or you think Breira doesn't work, or you think it doesn't work both the Rabbanon and the Oraita. Now based on that, now you have a stira in Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon of Lakeach Yain Ben Akutim says, Ein Breira. And Rabbi Shimon here by Eruv says, Yesh Breira. And according to Rabbi Yosef's understanding that Breira either works or doesn't work, now you have a stira. Rav Amar, Shiny Hotam. Over there, there's a different case. The Be'inan Reshit, Shishirani Karim. There's a demand when it comes to Trumot. It says that the Reshit, the first, be taken off. That's what Truma is. Truma is the first. Because of that, there is a necessity or a need for you to be mafrish, the Trumot, and clearly define where the Truma is. Reshit means that this is the first, and whatever else is the leftovers. And you have to know which is the first and which is the leftovers. If you can't make that clear determination, it's not Truma. So that's the problem. By Yayin Akutim, the problem's not a Breira problem. It's a separate problem. That if you don't separate out the Truma, you don't have clearly defined Truma and clearly defined leftovers. And that's not Truma. So that's the problem. You didn't take off Truma. Breira would have worked, but you can't use Breira. Breira's not the issue here. Reshit is the issue, and it doesn't work by Yalokeach Yayin Ben Akutim. Here by Eruv, Rabbi Shimon follows his normal opinion, Breira works. So he believes Breira works. It wasn't possible to use it or utilize it by the case of Lokeach Yayin Mibene Kutim. Amar Le Abaye, El Miata, if that's the case, Sayulafanav Shnei Rimonim, he has two pomegranates in front of him. Shel Tevel, they don't have Shumot Masro taken off of them. Vomer, Im Yerdu Gishamim Ayom, if it rains today, Yezeh Shuma Azeh, then the right one is Shuma on the left one. Vim Lo Yerdu Gishamim, if the rain doesn't fall today, Ayom, Yezeh Shuma Azeh, then the left one is Shuma on the right one. So Hachanami, Ben Yardu, Ben Lo Yardu, whether they came or not, Dein B'Tarav Klum, it shouldn't work, because Ein Shiarani Karim. You don't know which one is Reshit and which one is the leftover. Now the assumption of the Gemara, the assumption of Abaye is that Breira would work here. He says here that, oh, based on the fact that you say Reshit, that's what's determining here. What happens if you said Ein Breira? No Breira. And that would also say that these don't work. How is he certain that this Breita is talking about Reshit, Shiarani Karim? How does Abaye know that that's the issue in this Breita? Maybe the Breita doesn't think it works because it ain't Breira. So over here, all the Rishonim deal with this differently. Some of the Rishonim answer and say that when do we say ain't Breira? That's only betole bedat atzmo. That's only when the determination of the outcome is in your hands. But tole bedat achirim, if the determination is out of your hands or out of your control, then we do invoke Breira. Because in that case, you've lost control of the situation. And whatever happens, happens. That will be determined after the fact. It's a Gemara in Gittin and other places. The Gemara says this, that even though you may not think there's Breira by Tole B'dat Atzmo, when you're making the determination after the fact, if you leave it in other people's hands or to nature, then Breira works. And that's what happened over here. The only thing that has to be determined now is whether it rains or not. But that's out of his control. Since it's out of his control, we say Breira works. And that's why Breira can't be the issue here. That's how some of the Rishonim answer. The Mari in the Tosafot, and Rashi says something very similar, says, even if you believe Ein Breira, doesn't mean Ein Breira that it doesn't work at all. Ein Breira means we just don't know which one is Truma and which one is Kulin over here. Most people believe when you say Ein Breira, it means it doesn't work at all. You've done nothing. But the Mari and Rashi say here, no, it worked. One of them is Truma and one of them is Kulin. You just don't know which one is which. That's what it means, Ein Breira. You can't make the determination after the fact because we don't allow that termination to designate which one is which. But it means that the Truma was taken off. You just don't know which. That means if a Kohen comes, he could eat it. Kohen could eat it because one of them is Truma, one of them is Chulin, and he could eat it. So that's why Abaye here says that the only problem here is Reshit, Shira, and Ani Karim. Because if it was up to Breira, Breira would have worked. Even if you say Ein Breira, it would have worked here. It just would have been. We wouldn't know which one, but it would have functioned. No. Ein Breira says that even after the fact, when you get the rain, that's not determinant. It works because you wanted there to be Truma and Chulin. We just don't know which one is Truma and which one's Chulin. We would say that if you want to work it out retroactively, it doesn't work retroactively. That's Ein Breira. That's the basic understanding. This understanding of Ein Breira means we don't know what you were thinking at that time. Whatever you thought at that time, whichever one you thought was going to happen or you thought which gave a higher percentage to, that's what happened. And even though it rained, it didn't rain after the fact, that makes no difference to it. The after the fact is irrelevant, but it works, meaning that you were mafrish trumot. And that's why the proof from this breita is that the only problem here, it's not a problem of Breira, it's a problem of Reshit, Shishira, and Nikarim. So Bai challenges Rabba from this, says that how come over here it should work? Because you have two items, and you don't know which one's Truma, which one's the leftovers, it shouldn't work at all. And if you want to say, that you say, he didn't do anything here, Vatanan. Truma Takri, Azeh, Umasratov bitocho. You have this big pile, and you say the center is truma. Or you have maaser rishon there, and you say that the center is trumat maaser ze bitocho. The trumat maaser is in the center. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kara shem. So that works. So there you see Rabbi Shimon saying that even though reshit and ein shiare nikarim, and it still works. That cannot be the principle of Rabbi Shimon, because here you have an explicit Braita that says Rabbi Shimon believes that when you say, oh, in the center, that's the truma, that works. So when it says, shani hotam, dikas vivav. There it is, shiare nikarim. The center is truma. What's on the outside is not truma. So it's clear that the outside is not truma. And that is chulin. So there is shiare nikarim. There you do have a understanding. You may not know at some point there's a fine line where it gets gray. But the outer edge, you know for sure, is not truma. So there is shiare nikarim in that case. And maybe that's why the position of Rabbi Shimon. Therefore, Rava's distinction within the position of Rabbi Shimon still stands. Rabbi Shimon does subscribe to Breira. By lokeach yayin ben akutim, the issue there is reshit shiare nikarim. That fails in the case of lokeach yayin ben akutim. And that's why Rabbi Shimon says that it's no good over there. But over here by Eruv, he says that it's fine because he holds or he subscribes to Breira. And the question of Abaye from the Mishnah about Truma, over there, it is a case of Shiare Nikarim. And that's why Rabbi Shimon permits it over there. V'ibay Demek and Tani Taima, Amrulo the Rabbi Meir. And then some say, and then this is the answer that's given in many places in Shas for that, Breita. Took the Gemara a lot longer to get there this time, which is that the reason for Alokeach Yayin Lemen Akutim has nothing to do with Breira, but rather has to do with this. Amrulo the Rabbi Meir, Iyata Mode, Shema Ibaka Node, Venim Sezeh Shotet Valim Lemafreya. Aren't you afraid that maybe the canteen, or whatever is holding the wine, will break? And if it breaks, he's in trouble. Because he already drank wine from it, which was technically Tevel, but he's going to fix the problem after the fact. So when he fixes the problem after the fact, okay. But what happens if he never gets the chance to fix the problem after the fact? For instance, it breaks, the canteen bursts, and all the wine goes out. Now he can't take off Truma anymore. Can't take off my throat, and there's nothing to do about what he drank before. Now he drank Tevel. Amar Lahan, he responds to them, Lashivaka, when it breaks, we'll deal with it. I mean, that's not a common occurrence. We're not going to be goes there because of this uncommon occurrence that the thing might burst, or something might go wrong. That's definitely not the case. Mar says, Umay desalika datin bi karo. That which we originally thought, Dibi'in and Reishit Shishir and Eri Karim, that we thought the argument in this bright that was about Reishit and making it clear what is Truma and what is the leftovers, my Kamrile. Then what's this conversation between Rabbi Meir and the other Chachamim? It's not relevant. When it bursts, when it doesn't burst, why is that even relevant? It says, Alki Kamrile. Lidi Dan, according to us, the other Tanaim say, Be'in and Reishit Shishir and Eri Karim, like Rabbi Shimon, who says that we need Reishit, that the leftovers are clear. So we don't think it works because of that. But the didach, according to you, Rabbi Meir yourself, who thinks that you don't need that, and it would work even if shiareh ain't an ikarim, iyata moda shemi baka, no, you should still have a problem with the fact that if it bursts, you would be in trouble. So to that he says, v'nimsa shotet tvalim l'mafreya. And then he's drinking tvalim retroactively, and the shiki baka, when it bursts. Tosfot also notes, what about the fact that we originally thought that the Braita was talking about Breira? How do they explain it then? If we thought the original argument was about Breira, what's the conversation then? So he says, V'yesh lamar, d'yada shas, sein ze ikar atam. The Gemara knows that this is not the real reason. This thing of the blowing up or the exploding canteen is not the real reason. Even though that's a discussion that's brought in the Braita, that's a ancillary issue that is being discussed there. And then Tosfot brings numerous items and includes, V'gahenu rabot b'shas. There are many times in Shas where they discuss an issue in a Braita or in a Mishnah, and the reason that is discussing the Braita and the Mishnah is not the Iker reason for their position. Their Iker reason for their position is something else. And then as a sidebar, they discuss another issue, even though that looks like it must be the reason. So over here too, even though it says the Shivaka, it sounds like that's the problem here, that's the argument. Nevertheless, that's not really the argument. That's a sidebar, that's a sideshow. The real argument is either about Breira, about Reshit, Shishirah, Nikarim. It's something else. And the Shivaka is just another thing that they discussed while they were on the issue, but that's not the major issue that they're discussing. So in the end, the Gemara either basically says that Breita is not speaking, okay, Chayim Ben Akutim is not speaking about Breira. Could be that it was speaking about Breira, but the Gemara makes the determination, either it's talking about an argument about Reshit, Shishir and Nikarim, when you designate Truma, does that be clear what the Truma is and what the leftovers are? Or the other argument is a question of whether we worry about the canteen blowing up and ruining it retroactively. We would allow, technically the Chachamim there all would agree that Breira would work. What we're afraid of is that something will go wrong and not allow you to accomplish the Breira. And therefore we say no Breira because of that problem. But in any of those instances, then we solve a lot of the problems here because the other places where we find these Tanaim that seem to contradict their opinions in the bright of Lokech Yamei Nekutim wouldn't be relevant anymore. Because by Lokech Yamei Nekutim, there's another issue besides Breira that is determining. Whether it's Reshit Shirani Karim or it's Shema Yibaka Anod, those are other issues that would not affect or have impact in other cases, and therefore they could have a different opinion somewhere else that is different from that what is found in Lokech Yamei Ben Akutim.
So in summary now, four Tanaim that appear in the Braita of Lokeach Yaimi Ben Akutim, first of all, we have Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir clearly believes that there is Breira, and he clearly believes that there's not an issue of Reshit Shei Shearei Nikarim. Because otherwise he could not permit, for here, allowing this individual to take off the Chumot and Masrot after the fact. He might also argue with the Chachamim about whether we worry about Shivaka Anot or not, but fundamentally he believes that there is Breira, and that there is no issue of Shishiareh Nikarim. The other three Tanaim that argue on him, Rabbi Yehuda at first, we have a Machloket Amoraim as to whether Rabbi Yehuda really disagrees with Rabbi Meir. You have Ula who suggests that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Meir, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda would be of the opinion again that there is Breira, and number two, that we don't worry about Shishiareh Nikarim. According to the other Lashon of the Gemara, not according to Ula, Rabbi Yehuda does not agree with Rabbi Meir. Now, he may not agree with Rabbi Meir for a number of reasons. One of them might be that he doesn't subscribe to Breira. And that might bolster that explanation of Ayo in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to Breira. The other possibility is the conclusion of the Gemara at the end that the issue in the Mishnah is not Breira, it's an issue of Shearei Nikarim, or it's an issue of Shema Yibaka Anot. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda might subscribe to Breira. He might think that Breira is fine. It's just that in the Breita of Lokeach Yain Min Akutim, there's another issue involved. It's either an issue of, do we worry about the flask or the barrel exploding, or do we worry about this issue of Shearei Nikarim? For Rabbi Yossi is somewhat more difficult because, first of all, we found a Mishnah in Kinin that seems to indicate that Rabbi Yossi thinks that there is Breira. The Gemara blows that out by having Rabbo explain that that's not really a case of Breira. We brought an additional two brightot that seem to indicate that Rabbi Yossi thinks that there is Breira. In that case, the Gemara flipped the positions and says Rabbi Yossi does not believe in Breira. Now, we did that because we had the support of the brightot of Lokeach Yaimi Ben Akutim, which makes it sound like Rabbi Yossi argues on Rabbi Meir in that brightot. But according to the conclusion of the Gemara, that the argument over there could be about something besides Breira, including Shema Yibaka Anod, or the possibility of Shearei Nikarim, it's not obvious or clear from the bright of Lokeach Yaimi Ben Akutim that Rabbi Yossi believes that Ein Breira. If that's the case, we might not be compelled to explain the Mishnah and Kinim according to Rabbo. And we also may not be compelled to flip the brightot over here that suggests that Rabbi Yossi believes in Breira. The Gemara never addresses this. Tosafot tries to discuss this and looks at Rabbi Yossi's opinion throughout Shas and tries to reconcile then Rabbi Yossi's opinion based on the way the Gemara ends, which is that Rabbi Yossi thinks there's Ein Breira. But, according to the final conclusion, the Gemara may be that Rabbi Yossi believes there is Breira, and he's arguing here for a different reason. The last of the opinions is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, we see from other Breitot, thinks that there is Breira. And, why is he arguing with Rabbi Meir in the Breita of Lokeach Yayim Ben Akutim? That could be either because of the Shema Yibaka Anod, or because of Shearei Nikarim. He has another issue that makes him argue on Rabbi Meir, not necessarily Breira. And so, that is the conclusion, and that will be the answer for all of these Tanaim. From Lokeach Yaim Ben Akutim, we have no evidence except for Rabbi Meir about their positions, because there are numerous factors or items that they could be arguing about with Rabbi Meir. And from that, we don't have evidence of their position. And the other Breitot we could reconcile or work out. Rabbi Shimon, we clearly have another Breita that seems to indicate that he holds there is Breira. Rabbi Yossi seems to be holding up Breira, even though the Gemara is pushing against that, especially with the explanation of Rabbo. And Rabbi Yehuda will be dependent on that machloki between Ula and the first Lashon in the Gemara as to whether Rabbi Yehuda aligns with Rabbi Meir or with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we'll stop here.